In our lobby, there are the four purposes of this church: invite, connect, equip, and serve. And we encourage you to utilize the insert in the bulletin that is in there for one more Sunday. Christmas stories is our theme for the Advent. And today we'll talk about How the Grinches Stole Christmas. Next week, A Charlie Brown Christmas, then A Christmas Carol, and then A Hallmark Christmas. We invite you to make the most of the curiosity factor. Pin this up. This is a pin-up, put-down, pass-out piece. Pin this up near your desk or in your locker and let people say, hey, what's that? People are more open to invitations to religious events, which is what we would call church, what the unchurched would call church, or the dechurched would call church. So pin it up and then put it down at a waiting room on the table, or at the table where you have a meal along with a generous tip, or pass it out to a family member, neighbor, friend, coworker, even stranger. You know how you can double attendance in 1 week? Everybody who is present, invite somebody or get somebody here. Each one reach one for the next service. And that's how you double attendance at a given service. So we encourage you to invite and connect with the pancakes and pajamas tonight. I think there are still some slots available for 6 o'clock, not at 4 and 5, but at 6. And so you can get in on that. In terms of Bible time, well, this is, we're reading Exodus 37 today, and then 38, 39, 40 for the rest of November. Exodus is a bit it contains some interesting stories about the founding of the nation of Israel. But among other things, last week we read in Exodus 20 the Ten Commandments. So there are some great things in Exodus, and all, it's all great, but some of it is more applicable than others. We encourage you to get in on Bible time as it exists and enjoy that. Now for today's message, How the Grinches Stole Christmas. Today we begin a series of messages called Christmas Stories. When Hollywood turns a story into a TV show or a movie, it has a way of changing the script. When it comes to Christmas, we must look beyond the Hollywood version all the way to the heavenly version and appreciate Christmas stories as told by the Bible. We will use cultural traditions as springboards into scriptural truth. Today's springboard is based on a man named Theodore Geisel and a story that he wrote. He was born on March 2nd, 1904. His high school art teacher told him to skip the class because he had no potential as an artist. He pursued various career options after school and after army life, and his first book, And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, was published in 1937 under his pen name, his middle name, his mother's maiden name, Seuss. He added doctor because his father wanted him to practice medicine. So that's Dr. Seuss. In 1957, he released one of the most famous books by Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat, and he wrote more than 60 books. Most were published under the name Dr. Seuss. He also authored more than a dozen books as Lessig, which is his last name spelled backward. And he used, at least for one book, the pseudonym Rosetta Stone. His books have sold over 600 million copies in multiple languages. And last year in the USA Today Top 100 children's books that had been sold, he still ranked with 6 of the top 10 in his books. His birthday, March 2nd, has been adopted by the NEA, the National Education Association, as the annual date for National Read Across America Day. And in 2017, the Amazing World of Dr. Seuss Museum opened. 1957 was the year that he released How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And he wrote it, I'm told, in 1 week. The Grinch cartoon first aired on CBS December 18, 1966, and The Grinch is number 5 on TV Guide's 50 all-time great cartoon characters. Now, The Grinch is just a fantasy, but it points to a reality. It provides us with this week's springboard into Scripture, because The Grinch is famous for how he stole Christmas. Well, our culture is filled with forces that try to steal the real Christmas. So let's think about some potential Christmas thieves today. First, there's the Grinch of expectation. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and might have it fully." We have high hopes for holiday times every year, but special occasions often promise more than they deliver. The holiday high doesn't last very long, and then it's back to the daily grind. I'm not suggesting we humbug the holidays. We should enjoy our cultural Christmas traditions, but don't expect to find deep down long-lasting fulfillment from the customs of the culture. One of my mentors was fond of saying, "True life is found in Jesus Christ and nowhere else." So expect true and lasting life in Jesus and nowhere else. Next is the Grinch of busyness. Ephesians 5 says, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." The holiday season sure can be busy. Aunt B has a Christmas tea this Tuesday. The class party is Wednesday and you're in charge of refreshments. The office party is Thursday and you're in charge of decorations. Your shopping list is half a mile long. You got to get the car ready for the trip to Grandma's house. And the Santa out front has a short in it that you've got to fix. And then, of course, there are all those special Christmas church events that keep, quote, interfering, end quote, with your holiday plans. The season can feel frenzy full, burden busy, headache hectic, if we're not careful. Don't be so busy during the holidays that you miss the point. That's the Grinch of busyness. There's also the Grinch of commercialism. 1 John 2 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world." For months before Christmas, we are bombarded with ads trying to convince us to buy stuff for others and for ourselves. We are enticed to make this a December to remember. Kids of every age can get caught up in the commercialism. It's fine to buy and exchange gifts, but it can sure get out of hand. And don't think that it was the wise men who established the gift exchange custom either. I can see the wise men as they come and find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They all circle around, and the first wise man gives his gift to the second wise man. The second wise man says, "Oh, gold, thank you, I love gold." And then the second wise man gives his gift to the third wise man, who opens it and says, "Oh, frankincense, you can't have too much frankincense, we've got a lot at home already, but thank you for the frankincense." And then the third wise man gives his gift to the first wise man. And he says, "Oh, myrrh, I give gold and I get myrrh. There's something wrong with that. But anyway, it's better than a camel hair tie, so thanks for the myrrh. And then they say Merry Christmas, they pack up their caravan, and they go home. Well, that's not the way it happened, is it? They presented gifts, but not to one another. They presented gifts to Jesus. Christmas is the only birthday party I know of where the guest of honor might be the only one to not receive a present. Gift exchange is fine. It's a fun custom, but it can be distracting if we allow it to be. Use things and love people, not vice versa. And whatever you do, don't leave the birthday guest of honor out of the Christmas giving time. He gave himself to us for Christmas, and we should give ourselves to him at Christmas. There's also the Grinch of religion. Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This is the sneakiest Grinch of all. You may think you're doing something spiritual when it could be just a religious tradition. Be careful. The classic statement is still true. Christmas is not primarily a religion, or Christianity is not primarily a religion. Christianity is primarily a relationship with God and with Jesus through him. And there are other Grinches as well. There's the Gimme Grinch, the Stuff Me Grinch, the Watch Me Grinch. Give me another Christmas present. Stuff me with another Christmas treat. Watch me as I play football or march in a parade. Enjoy the cultural traditions, but don't overdo them. Instead, focus not on Christmas traditions, but Christmas truth. Let me read, and as I read, watch for the themes of miracle, promise, and salvation. Miracle, promise, and salvation. From Matthew chapter 2. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Imagine how Joe must have felt when he found out his dream girl fiance was expecting. And he knew it could not be his baby. He knew of only one way women get pregnant. Nowadays, it's possible for a woman to get pregnant artificially, but at that point, the only thing that Joseph knew was such procedures were unheard of. And Joseph's dream had turned into a nightmare. Mary had, no doubt, told him about the angel's visit to her, but he must have thought she was a bad lady and a good liar. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. We are told that in that day, an engagement was as binding as a marriage. In fact, verse 19 calls Joseph her husband. So Joe had to go through the official process to break the engagement like today's divorce proceedings. Well, the Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a man of morals, and he was a man of mercy. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. So he was going to call off the wedding because he thought his fiance had been unfaithful to him and wouldn't admit it. But he thought he was going to do it quietly so as to spare her greater shame. Then verse 20 and following, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. After he'd considered it, I'll bet he did. It was probably on his mind day and night. He probably couldn't concentrate at work. He probably couldn't sleep well most of the night. But he slept long enough to have a dream. And it was a wonderful dream. It was a dream come true beyond his wildest dreams. He learned in this dream that his dream girl had been faithful after all, and that she would play a vital role in the redemption story, as would he. Then beginning in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the angel reminded Joe that the Messiah would come born of a virgin. And Joe was convinced that Mary was telling the truth about the angelic visit after all. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. So as soon as he woke up, he ran to tell Mary about the wonderful dream he had had, and he talked her into moving up the wedding date so she could move in with him right away. Then verse 25 says, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. So they lived platonically as brother and sister until the baby was born. And after that, they lived as husband and wife. And that's why the scriptures describe Jesus as having brothers and sisters. They were half brothers and sisters to him. And then the last of verse 25, he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, the name Jesus literally means Savior. People were often named after the dominant family profession. You could often tell what people did by their name, and we see that carry over in English a lot with names such as baker, barber, butler, driver, farmer, fisher, hunter, miller, sawyer. This baby would be called Savior because he would save his people from their sins. None of us could be good enough to earn heaven on our own. We needed someone outside ourselves to cleanse our hearts and to bring us forgiveness, to make us acceptable in the presence of a holy God. There's a famous Christmas song that says of Santa, he's making a list and checking it twice and going to find out who's naughty or nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness' sake. Well, frankly, we give Santa more credit than he deserves, and we give Jesus less credit than he deserves, because Jesus really does know that we've all been naughty, not nice, and bad, not good. Granted, few people are as bad as they could be, but nobody is as good as they should be. And that's why the angel said, Jesus will save his people from their sins. So Christmas is not primarily about football, food, or family. It is primarily about faith and forgiveness and fulfillment. Christmas is not primarily about the gifts we give to one another. It is about God's gift to us, his Son, and salvation through him. And that leads from Christmas traditions and Christmas truth to Christmas trust. John 1 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Christmas truth does no good without Christmas trust. We have to put our faith in the facts of Christmas. We must personally believe him and receive him to be right with God. In the classic Seuss tale, the Grinch would start with an undersized heart, but the Grinch was changed because his heart grew three sizes that day. So the heart of the matter was the matter of the heart. It still is. We all have a terminal and fatal spiritual heart disease called sin. But Jesus offers the cure. In chapter 10 of verse 9 of Romans, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession with the mouth, belief in the heart. If you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, if you sincerely believe what you say, then you will be saved. If you haven't already received Jesus as Savior, then you can do so today, right where you sit, with confession in prayer and a sincere confession from the heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've made that decision already, then what you need to do is reaffirm your faith in Jesus. He calls on us to live out our new heart condition. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart. We must make Christmas not just cultural, but also personal. Don't let the Grinches steal the true meaning of Christmas from you. In the spirit of Dr. Seuss, let's conclude this sermon with a poem. What Christmas is all about. Christmas time is very near. That grand finale time of year of the season's scents and sounds and sights surround our senses with delights. Decorations are displayed on every post and colonnade and every window, wall, and door of every shopping mall and store. Every shelf is ceiling high with merchandise for us to buy and wrap and then put on display and trade away on Christmas Day. Everyone will use their voice to turn on their device of choice to play as we all sing along our favorite carol, hymn, and song. Festive, multicolored lights will brighten up the winter nights. Silver, gold, red, white, and green combine to colorize the scene. Smells are sweet when Grandma bakes our favorite cookies, pies, and cakes, and we will all begin to pudge as we consume the Christmas fudge. Everyone can hardly wait to join in and participate. It is a wondrous time of year we love so much and hold so dear. And as we gather, let's recall the reason that's behind it all. Let's remind ourselves again why Christmas really did begin. Christmas is about a king who did a quite amazing thing. He removed his robe and crown and left his throne and then came down and he became a man on earth of human flesh and normal birth. The king had, by his own decree, decided that humanity was sinful, every one of them, and could not live with him like that. But he so loved the human race that he came down to take our place, to pay the price we could not pay, so we could live with him one day. Christmas is about the Christ who came here to be sacrificed, to live and die and rise again and save us from the guilt of sin. Salvation is for everyone who puts their faith in what he's done. And that is how his lowly birth brought love, hope, joy, and peace on earth. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you that we don't have to allow the Grinches of our culture to steal our Christmas. Thank you for the Christmas story as told in the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that his lowly birth brought love, hope, joy, and peace on earth and to our hearts. Thank you that we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.